So this is the first week of Advent, but the second week of our Advent series. It's complicated, but this is how we need to do it. And today we're looking to look at peace. And the idea of these services is that they are hopefully just a little bit more relatable and something that you could bring someone to.
Well, we're starting a new series as we head towards Christmas called Good News for a Change.
No worries. So, I could certainly do with a bit of peace for a change. How do those words resonate with you? Are you kind of in that zone? I'm not sure if it's actually true, but it feels as though we're living in a world that is increasingly at odds. Nations at odds. People at odds. I kind of suspect that's the way it's always been, but for some reason, it seems to be coming to the fore. I think perhaps in Australia we have found the conflict difficulty a little bit easier to ignore. Conflict is always on the other side of the world, and wars and death tolls and riots, they sound terrible, but they're really just something to shake our heads about. They're not something to fear in our own lives. But lately, I don't know about you, I've been starting to feel as though this being at odds is creeping into our own lives, our own society. We keep coming up against conflict and disagreement, division and even hatred. It's kind of coming up to the surface, and it's no longer so easy to ignore, is it? We need to be really careful what we say, how we say it, to who we say it. It's so easy to be misunderstood. It's so easy to judge someone else, and it's so easy to be caught at the end of someone else's judgment. I was out in kids' church 2 weeks ago with some of our beautiful girls. They're preparing for kids' church for next week. And they had this conversation. One of them said to me, "Miranda, will we be able to wear white dresses?" And another one said, "But isn't that racist?" And for me, it was just such a clear example of these girls, they want to do the right thing and say the right thing, but it's just confusing. And at least I was able to say to them, the colour white in itself is not racist, and if you'd like to wear white dress, that's probably okay. But there are big questions, aren't there, of what is actually right? Several extended families that I know have found themselves actually split down the middle over issues like COVID vaccination. You probably know some. You might even belong to a family like that. All around us, there's anxiety and there's confusion about how things are going to play out, about what the next year is going to look like. And with news this week of a new variant and new restrictions coming in, it's just, we don't know what's going to happen next, do we? We sorely need peace in our world, in our nation, among our friends, in our families. We all want peace, but we just seem unable to make it happen. Let me read you these words. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy, for before their very eyes they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God." This poetic and heart-stirring message comes from the prophet Isaiah and is given to Israel in a time where they are under oppression, they are in conflict, they have war on all sides. And the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are sometimes called the Book of Judgment. It's all about the suffering that Israel is going through for turning their backs on God. The war, the conflict, the exile, oppression from evil powers. And for them, the idea of peace must have seemed just like this distant fairy tale. Into this, Isaiah paints a beautiful word picture. Let's imagine for a minute. A large gathering of people waiting impatiently, anxiously, fearfully for news of battle. These people are not the fighters. They're the waiters, the women and the children, the elderly, the sick, the ones who've been fighting and are wounded, and the watchmen and the guards that keep them safe. And waiting is a job almost as hard as fighting. Time crawls on. The day drags. They can't see what's happening. It's too far. It's on the other side of the mountains. They're meant to be in a safe place. But perhaps the battle is near enough for them to hear. And late in the day, they hear sounds of victory. But is that good or bad? It's impossible to know who has won. And then someone spots, a long way off on the mountainside, a lone man, tiny, racing along a windy track, picking his way around books, rocks and bushes. Is it the news they're waiting for? Is it victory? Is it defeat? Is it peace? Or is it invasion? He's shouting as he runs, and everyone strains to try and hear that voice, to see his face or his posture, any clue that might give the news away. And as he rounds the last bend, he's not just smiling, he's beaming in a face-splitting smile from ear to ear. He's shaking his hands in the air, and there's a skip and a jump in the final few metres as he hoarsely shouts, "Peace! We're saved! Our God is King!" He's brown with dust and dirt and possibly blood. He's dripping sweat, he's turning it into mud. He's bent over and he's breathing so hard he can hardly speak. But to the people who are crowding around him, clapping him on the back, hugging each other with tears, he's the most beautiful sight they have ever seen. Did you notice the messenger's words? It's interesting. There is peace, not just because the fighting has stopped, or there's a treaty or a compromise, or all the enemies are dead. There's peace because God is King. The presence of peace is ultimately about who is King, who is in charge. Have a think about it. Peace cannot exist when the question of who is in charge is up for grabs. There may be a power vacuum. If no one is in charge, there's chaos. No one knows what to do. There is no peace. If competing leaders or powers are vying for position, both wanting to be in charge, there is no peace until one of them prevails, and perhaps not even then. Both of these scenarios have played out thousands and thousands of times over history and are still happening today. But you know what? One strong ruler is no guarantee either. If that ruler is evil, or even just self-serving, or even just incompetent, there's no fighting, but there's also no peace. I'm interested to notice in movies where a villain is in charge, always temporarily, the landscape tends to echo what's going on. Have you ever noticed this? I'm thinking particularly of, say, The Lion King. Seen The Lion King? When Scar, the villain, is in charge, the land is black and dead and dry. The fields are barren and empty. There's no food. Everyone is starving. Everyone is suffering. So it's not subtle. Disney really is. But just think of the truth of that. Dictators in the last century. There may be no fighting, but where a person is power, their own power is the only thing, then all of the other things suffer. There's no freedom, there's no thriving, there's no functioning society, there's no food, and there's no peace. Human leadership without God will never bring perfect peace. Leadership at its core involves using power well, and human beings have not proved themselves particularly good at this. In the end, no one has the generosity and the self-sacrifice, but also the wisdom and the authority to use power well to bring true and lasting peace. So what's all this got to do with Christmas? Is it just a time of year where we think of nice things like peace? Well, I put to you in this picture, Christmas is indeed the messenger that's running through the mountains, breaking into the scene, bringing the message that God has taken charge, that the age of his kingdom has come and the new king, our Lord Jesus Christ, is about to arrive. Now, it's an interesting thing about new leaders. There's always hope, particularly by those who have supported him, who have raised up, who are their followers. But there's also a sense of tension and reservation, maybe even fears as well. Do you know that feeling? We have it on a smaller scale, I think. We think, ah, this new prime minister, this new boss, this new school principal, this new pastor, what will he or she be like? What will life be like under their leadership? Will it be better than we've known, or maybe worse? Will we be glad, or will we be sorry for this change? How much more for a new king, someone with true power? Will he be heavy-handed? Will he take our wealth? Will he make our children serve in his armies? Will he restrict freedom? Will he exploit us? Ultimately, can we trust him to use power well for the kingdom? Psalm 72 is a prayer for the ideal king, the king that embodies or represents God to Israel. And these are the kind of prayers that are in this psalm. Just some snatches for you. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May he defend the afflicted among the people. May he save the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. That's the kind of king we can trust. The king for whom his people's blood is precious, who brings them good, who protects the weak. Can we trust him? When God is king, when Jesus is king, the answer is a wholehearted yes. Make no mistake, if Jesus is king, if he's in charge, he won't be a pushover. And it might take getting used to, and there may be demands, but do not be afraid. If there's one leader in existence who genuinely uses power for his people's good, who is utterly trustworthy, it's Jesus. And he's proved it to us already. He brings freedom into the world as he comes as a baby. He brings life. He has given himself for us in his sacrifice on the cross, and he has plans for us to thrive eternally. The peace that Jesus brings us is not dependent on our circumstances around us. We can have Jesus' peace even in the middle of conflict, in the middle of hostility. It's not dependent on anything but hope and trust in him. As we heard earlier, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." We're not getting peace from what's around us, whether people, whether events, outward safety, we get it from him. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Paul says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If we could truly live that out, we would experience peace, God's peace, more than anything we can understand. But God's peace is not just to help and comfort his own children. He intends it as the ultimate state of all heaven and earth. And Isaiah, this same prophet, gives us a glimpse of this in chapter 9. You'll know these words from Christmas if you've been around church. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice for all eternity. Jesus will return to bring universal worldwide peace, and he will judge those who have prevented, destroyed, worked against peace. Our ultimate home is a new heaven, a new earth, ruled in perfect peace by a king who works for his subjects' good. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Sound good? But peace now is not only something that we're called to experience, it's something we are called to share with other people. We've just recently been through the book of 1 Peter, and I don't know about you, but I learned a great deal from going through there. And chapter 3 actually gives us a great description for what living for peace looks like. It says this: finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil with evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. So that's our goal, but how do we do it? How can we actively work towards peace in our larger world? This is a time where we can actually feel very small and very insignificant, can't we? But the answer is probably to find others who feel the same, to work in together, to prayerfully look for organisations which work in places that you can't personally get to support them financially or prayerfully or in other ways. But in doing that, don't assume that God is not asking you, inviting you into something bigger. But this one's in reach of us all. How can we actively work towards peace in our own corner of the world? Think back to those divisions and judgments we talked about at the beginning. Where is peace needed? Is there hurt or division among your family, among certain friends, between you and somebody else? How can you search for peace and work to maintain it? I think our society misses something large at the moment, and it's this. We can still sympathise and love those we disagree with. We can actually choose not to retaliate and not to repay evil with evil. We can look for ways to pay back insult with blessing. Don't see a lot of that on Facebook. All of these actions work towards peace and away from conflict. It's actually hard to maintain enemies when you're loving them. It's hard to maintain conflict where there's no retaliation or payback. And we can do this stuff in our families, in our friends, our workplaces, even with strangers. So I have a couple of final questions for you. See which one applies most to you. Do you know God's peace? God's peace is not a lack of problems in your life, or a warm feeling, or getting along with everybody all the time. The meaning of peace encompasses a lot of things, but here's the simplest I could possibly get down to. peace within us is a deep sense that Jesus can be trusted with everything. A deep sense that Jesus can be trusted with everything. Maybe you've never trusted him with anything. That doesn't matter. You can start today. Maybe you love him, you believe in him, but you can't quite trust him with absolutely everything. I think we've all been there at some time. But we can start doing that today too. Don't miss the chance to talk to God about it and to talk to someone that you know or trust. If you do know God's peace, will you work for peace? Will you commit yourself to the kind of behaviour that brings peace to others? Will you do what you can to be reconciled with people where there's conflict? How would you share the reason for the peace that you know? They're not easy questions, and you won't arrive at immediate answers. But we're going to take a moment just to ponder and then to pray. There's an old hymn with these words. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine while I am his. How can I keep from singing? Lord Jesus, we all desire that peace of Christ that makes our heart fresh, that makes us want to sing. The fountain that flows from within. Lord, I want to bring before you people today who don't know your peace. Holy Spirit, for those who wish that peace today, please grant it to them. Please take them on the next step to knowing your peace fully and freely in their lives. For those who do know you and love you but just struggle to find that peace, to trust you with everything, and I struggle too. Holy Spirit, help us to find that peace. Show us the things that we need to let go of ourselves and trust you with. Help us to build a foundation of trust and peace, where our lives are not shaken when things come along. And for all of us, show how we can work towards peace in a world that seems so at odds, where the natural thing to do is to retaliate, to bite back, to have a snappy comeback, to put people down, to spark conflict, to stir it up. May we be peacemakers. Give us the self-control that we need. Give us the love and the empathy that we need to bring your peace wherever we go. And may the Lord of Peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Lord, we know you will be with us all. Amen.